If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton here as well, taking you up to 5 o'clock today. We are off a little bit earlier today because the Royals are in the Eastern time zone. They have a 3-game series against the New York Yankees. Let me give you an itinerary of what we have planned on today's show. We are obviously going to start with the Kansas City Royals as they had a phenomenal weekend against the Minnesota Twins. They won all 3 of the games. Yes, my friends, they call that a sweep. We will talk a lot of football today. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show in the 3 o'clock hour around 3:15. We will be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. We will catch up with him at 3 o'clock in the 4 o'clock hour. We are going to be joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and also Tony Gonzalez will be on the show in the 4 o'clock hour. So we got a lot of football planned over the course of the next 3 hours, a little bit of baseball planned, some college football. My team won this weekend, K-State. Your team won as well. We got to do a roll call. First one of the season. Raise your hand if your college football team won this weekend. My hand is up high. Missouri is ranked in the top 10. K-State fan, I see your hand is up. You guys go on the road. You got a quality win. Nebraska fan, your hand is up. Rob, I don't see. Rob, where's it at? Touch some sky, my friend. Can you? You can't raise your hand?
My team lost over the weekend, Carrington.
Oh, it's week 2. You guys have already. You already lost? Week 2?
1-1. A lot of football left to play.
Who'd you guys play?
A Power 5 school,
which okay.
Missouri has not done that this year, just for the record.
They do this Saturday, though, coming up. They play Boston College here coming up. Don't be so quick to jump the gun, my friend. You certainly can't do that. Your team has a 1 in the loss column. Who you cheer for? Florida State? You cheer for Florida? Embarrassing. To have a loss this early in the college football season is embarrassing. I couldn't support a franchise, a program that did such things. We will get to them coming up in just a bit. But before we get to baseball, before we get to week 1 of the NFL season, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all around the city like Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, Midtown. They also have a killer selection of crafts and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or two or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatassio.com. That's pizza TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in the city and you also want to get ready for the Royals making the postseason, that the best place to do that is with us right here at 96.5 The Fan. All right, let's get to baseball. I didn't think that after week 1 we would be leading with the Kansas City Royals, but that is just the way that this season has gone. The Royals, they won every game this weekend against the Minnesota Twins. Yes, you Debbie Downers. Yes, you naysayers. I don't see you right now. I don't hear for you. I was here last week, and boy, were some of you guys worried stiff about the Royals and them making the postseason. And this show kept telling you, don't worry about it. They got it. You know that we love a good basketball analogy on this show. Well, let me give you one. The Royals were up 11 in the basketball game. Their lead got down to 5. You guys were all worried about it. No, we're going to lose this game. You know what? They won on Wednesday. They calmed things down. They got little pizza, little wings, little R&R. They got to watch the Chiefs win on Thursday, and they went out there this weekend and put a hurting on the Minnesota Twins. Let me update you guys on the standings. Let me also update you on their percentage chances of making the postseason, because maybe you don't believe me, but I'm here to give you guys solid math is what I'm here to do. That's what this show is about. We follow the numbers. We follow the stats. We go where the math tells us to go. According to FanGraphs, the Royals have a 94.9% chance of making the postseason. On Pro Baseball Reference, the Royals have a 95.5% chance of making the postseason. They are now 2.5 games up on the Minnesota Twins for the second wild card spot, and they are 5.5 games up on both the Tigers and the Seattle Mariners, and they play the Tigers in Kansas City a week from today. They are 5.5 games up, Rob, with 18 games to go. Don't you worry your little head. I want you to start planning your personal time off so you can watch the Royals in the postseason. That's what I want you to do. I want you to start preparing for a Royals postseason game, because that's where they're going. Yes, it was a bumpy ride. They only have 3 games left on this riptide. But the series that they needed to win most of all was this one against the Minnesota Twins, and they won all 3 of those games. Just don't get swept by the Yankees. And if you don't get swept by the Yankees, you know what? You will come out on the other side just fine. The only questions now left for the Kansas City Royals are this: can they win the division? They are 2.5 games back with 18 to go. So they got a chance. They don't have a great chance. I did give you guys the numbers. They don't have a great chance of winning their division, but 2.5 games in 3 weeks is manageable. You need Cleveland to slip up a little bit. You also need to remain hot as you have won your last 4 games. So question number 1, are they going to be the wild card team, or do they still have a chance to win the division? Because the division is still obtainable. It has been in play, out of play, in view, out of view. Right now, the Royals have a chance to skip this whole wild card nonsense and be one of the teams that wins their division. That's number 1. Number 2 is who they are going to play in the postseason. Now, we don't know that yet. A lot of things have to happen, have to come into view for us to figure out that information. But as of now, if you were worried about the Royals making the postseason, I am here to tell you that you don't need to worry about that anymore. They have a 95% chance of making the postseason. They are up 5.5 games with 18 to go. There's not a lot of time left in this season. As long as the Royals avoid one of the greatest collapses in the history of the sport, they will be fine. They'll be fine. If you want to take it one step further, I can give you what Pro Baseball Reference has as the best case outcome for the Royals and what the worst case outcome for the Royals is. Rob, the worst case scenario they see for the Royals is 85-77. You are making the postseason in the American League if that's the worst possible outcome. Now, they have the best possible outcome is them winning 92 games. I don't think they're winning 92 games. If you're going to tell me their floor is them going 85-77, this team is a playoff team. So I wanted to start today's show by giving you guys the math and starting with a little bit of Royals baseball, as it appears they are headed to the postseason. Let's talk a little bit of football. We'll get to college football coming up after the break. I do want to talk about Rob's team that is the only local team to lose this weekend. I didn't factor this in enough, which that's my fault because it's one of our show rules. We don't like noisy, disruptive off seasons. It never turns out the way that you want it to. Sometimes the information is right there staring you in the face and you don't pay attention to it. We should have known last season that the Chiefs were in a little bit of trouble heading into week one. They had a weird August. Chris Jones wasn't there. Travis Kelce had an injury. They had some other things going on. It was a lot swirling around the Kansas City Chiefs. Their performance week one against the Lions, you could see it coming a mile away. We just didn't open our eyes. Maybe you guys noticed this about the Cincinnati Bengals, and I didn't because of the opponent. I looked at the Bengals schedule, and they play the three worst teams from 2023 in the first 4 weeks of the season, and I'm looking at it as, hey, this team can get off to a good start. They never get off to a good start. You've got Jacoby Brissett and the New England Patriots coming to your house. Even though things haven't gone great for the Bengals for the last 4 weeks, they'll be able to put it together against New England. That's not how it works. A disjointed August creates a disjointed September. If there is any example of that that you need to see, it is the Cincinnati Bengals. For the last 2 weeks, they have been arguing with their best offensive skill position player about money. Their second best offensive skill position player, T. Higgins, is not playing right now. They have a new running back. We're not sure about the health status of their current quarterback. It was disjointed for the last 6 weeks about Cincinnati. And I covered my eyes, I put my finger in my ears, and I didn't want to hear it because they were playing the Patriots. Well, they get paid too. It was an embarrassing effort this weekend from the Cincinnati Bengals. There were a lot of embarrassing efforts in the National Football League, but they came from teams for the most part that none of us think are very good. Yes, Carolina, they were bad this weekend. They were bad the entire last season. We knew that they weren't a good team. This was embarrassing. Joe Burrow threw it 29 times, threw it for less than 200 yards. They had 16 carries for 70 yards in the game. Other than Jamar Chase, they had nothing in the pass game. We saw this coming with the Cincinnati Bengals and just didn't pay attention enough. A disjointed August will create a disjointed September. When was the last time that the Bengals had a quiet training camp, a quiet mini camp leading into the season? It's a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, and that stuff matters. That has me worried about San Francisco heading into today's game. I think they're going to win this game. But boy, other than Cincinnati, there has not been a team that has had a more disjointed August than they have. Your number one wide receiver was asking to be traded the entire month. Your starting left tackle wasn't there. Your first round draft pick was robbed and shot in downtown San Francisco. Tell me a team that had a crazier last 3 weeks than them. I'm saying the information is right there. I'm asking you to keep your eyes open because we didn't keep our eyes open enough about Cincinnati. They are now 0-1, and they are placed in a must-win scenario on the road in Kansas City. That is the absolute worst position you want to be in for a game that you need to win. Coming up on the other side, we'll bounce back and forth between pro football and college football. My team won this weekend. K-State, your team won this weekend. Rob's team did not win. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have an uncomfortable conversation. Now, I understand that some of you won't take this conversation seriously because of my college football allegiance. I'm here to tell you that I spent more time this weekend watching your team than my team. The team that I cheer for got up kind of big early. It was on ESPN Plus. You know what? I was okay. I'm also going to watch my team play this weekend. I was okay watching them not pummel Buffalo the way that they did. And their defense has been phenomenal. We got more time to talk about this. I watched a lot of K-State this weekend because the Texas game was out of hand. I watched a lot of the KU game because the Colorado game was out of hand. Let me tell you what I saw. Jalen Daniels is different. I was at the KU-Illinois game last year. And Rob, you remember, after that I said, I thought he had a lot of RG3 characteristics. He really jumps off the screen. It was obvious to me that day when I left that Jalen Daniels was the best player on the field. I went back because I was curious how he performed in that game. I just wanted to see what his stat line was. In that game last year against Illinois, Jalen Daniels was 21 of 29. He completed 72% of his passes, 277 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had an incredible throw at the end of the first half. They dominated Illinois. Fast forward 1 year later, and we know about the injury and the off-the-field issues, I guess, so to speak, with Jalen Daniels from a physical standpoint, not like any trouble, but just this being banged up. This year, completely different. 18 of 32, 141 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Now, Rob, I'm curious what you see as a fan and someone who has just watched more closely than I am. You also saw him play in person last week against Lindenwood, and he wasn't that great in that game either. He was 9 of 15 for 140 yards and 1 touchdown, and they got him out of there pretty quick this year. The KU excitement was based on Jalen Daniels being healthy and being the same explosive player that he's been. That's not what I've seen so far this season. That guy is not the same. I'll tell you how I know he's not the same. The end of the first half play calling is an indication of how your team feels about your quarterback. First play. So they have all 3 timeouts. I think it's 1:40 left in the game. Go get points here if you're KU. If you trust your quarterback, and you certainly have the weapons, you've got 2 future pros at running back, and you've got a couple capable wide receivers, you can put yourself in position to at least get a field goal on this final drive with 3 timeouts. Their first play, they call a screen play to their 4th best offensive player. That's not what I would have done, but okay. Kid drops it. It ends up being a negative. They then call 2 of the most conservative screen plays that you can call. One of those screen plays, it was the most telegraphed, slow lobbing. I mean, it was obviously going to get intercepted and ran the other way for a touchdown. I know there's a lot of hope, a lot of optimism around this KU team, and I'm not telling you that I think KU was bad. I think we got a little bit premature on their ability to compete for the Big 12. I think we were very premature on this team's ability to compete for a playoff spot. You are not making the college football playoff with the quarterback that they have had so far. The defense did not lose them the game. Devin Neal did not lose them the game. They lost that game because their quarterback was bad on Saturday. And you better get things in order because UNLV, that won 8 games last year and won a bowl game, UNLV can beat you. You go on the road in Big 12 play, in conference play. You can lose on the road to West Virginia. This is just an odd KU year because you don't have a home game and because the top of the Big 12 is so competitive. Are KU fans going to be happy if this team wins 8 games? You guys would have been dancing in the street if this team had won 8 games. If this team, with all the hype and anticipation, only win 8 games, how is that team received in Lawrence?
So we were texting during the KU game on Saturday, and I said this to you then, and I'll say it now. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look sharp. He looks like a guy who has not played football in a year plus. And that was my biggest concern on Saturday against Illinois. It wasn't just the pick 6 and a half, which was terrible. It wasn't just the play calling, which I thought the offensive coordinator, who's new at Kansas, had a really bad day. It's almost like the offensive coordinator forgot Devin Neal exists because he was running very effectively and they kept throwing the ball. That was frustrating. It wasn't just the fact that their offense was the horizontal raid. It was screen, 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 3-yard out, screen, screen, screen. All those things are frustrating, but as someone who saw him against Lindenwood and saw him against Illinois, it is the misses and the lack of putting the ball near his receivers, which is the larger concern for me. Robert Smith, I believe, was the color commentator on the call on Saturday. And one of those deep passes was supposed to be a back shoulder fade, and Daniels missed this target by like 3-4 yards. And Robert Smith in the broadcast said, I know it's a tall receiver, but if that guy's not 7'4", he has no chance at that ball. And there were multiple passes that felt that way. Unless Usain Bolt's out there, he's not running that one down. Unless he's Shaq, he's not grabbing that one. Unless he's Muggsy Bogues, he's not small enough to get down on the ground and get that one. It was just miss after miss after miss. I understand what the offense is going to try to look like. It's supposed to be take a few deep shots, hit a few of these deep shots. It softens things up, and then you can screen and run the ball really effectively. But Daniels missing the deep shots is the alarm bells for me, because before the injury, when he was playing BYU last year and he was playing Illinois last year, that game that you referenced, you were at it, he rolled out and he hit a deep strike to Luke Grimm. When they started out in 2022, 5-0, he was throwing deep bullets. He was dropping darts to people, and now it's just he doesn't look like that guy. The mistakes are frustrating, but you feel like with more play time, you can clean it up. But the misses are apparent, and they are a problem.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, it was the worst start of his career. Let's pump the brakes. KU gets back to winning ways and running the football with Devin Neal. Jeff Grimes also has to be better. I mean, that's KU's best chance, I think, to win, is just heavily rely on their run game. We say they get back to running the football. Devin Neal ran for 100 yards on Saturday, and they scored 17 points. I hear what you are saying, but my point on KU and pumping the brakes is, what is your expectation about what they are? I know what Missouri fan expectation is. It's playoff or bust. Missouri fan is not going to accept a 9-win season this year. Sure, they'll go to a good bowl game, but Missouri fan has their mindset on, we are going to the college football playoff. K-State is a team that I think can win the Big 12. I left that game on Saturday not feeling like K-State can win the Big 12. I think K-State is going to lose in Manhattan. They always lose to K-State. They always lose in Manhattan. I just don't know if I trust this team. If you lose that road game to Illinois, losing at West Virginia is not outside the realm of possibility. Losing on the road to BYU or on the road to Baylor is not outside the realm of possibility. I also would guess, I think KU loses at least one game at Arrowhead. It's just different. The only analogy I can make is, KU fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's different playing at Allen Fieldhouse than playing at Sprint Center. It's the same crowd, the same people, the energy, the building is different. KU not having that traditional home game this year, of all the contenders, of all the teams that you think can win the Big 12, they have the most unique schedule of all of those teams because of that. I think that factors in. I just didn't leave encouraged by their quarterback. And I think anytime he tried to rev up and throw it downfield, he ended up, the accuracy was way off. And I think something we do as football fans, and we all are guilty, I don't think we ever factor in the physical and emotional tolls that injuries take on your body. Having back surgery, having to recover, trusting, can you physically do all the things that you used to be able to do? We've seen special things from Jalen Daniels. I just didn't see anything special. That game was there to be won. They had numerous opportunities to win it, and I just didn't see him being capable of them going out and winning said game. It is one game. It's also college football. Now the playoff has made us think, oh, it's just one game. Man, one game in college football used to completely remove you from these conversations. Now we've given you a little bit of a leeway, but there is not much wiggle room left, especially when you lose to a team that's picked in the middle of the Big Ten. That's one you got to win. You can live with that loss if you go on the road and lose to Ohio State. You go on the road and lose to Michigan, Oregon. They lost to the 8th best team, 9th best team in the Big Ten. If you're a Big 12 title contending team and a playoff team, you got to figure out a way to scratch out and beat Illinois.
Here's the thing, and this is going to come off like KU homerism, and that's fine. Actually, the person that pointed this out to me, I was talking over the weekend with John Kurtz, who is the least KU homer possible on human earth. He has a YouTube channel called I Hate KU or K-State Online, whatever it's called. Doesn't matter. The point is, KU was never going to make the playoffs in at-large. I may have gotten excited about it. It may have been a notion we had on the show, but the harsh reality is KU was never, ever, ever making the college football playoff as a true at-large. It was never going to be KU falls short of Big 12 title game, but they grab a third spot because the league got three teams in. That's not how it's going to work. The SEC is going to get four or five. A group of five is going to get one. The Big Ten is going to get four or five. And then there's three to four spots up for grabs from the ACC, Notre Dame, and the Big 12. That's how it's going to shake out. And for KU, I still think there's a shot, albeit outside, because the Big 12 race is far from over. It hasn't even started yet. And Notre Dame, which we'll probably talk about later in the show, being horrific on Saturday, does lend itself to another spot opening up. The ACC being horrific in the first 2 weeks does lend itself to a spot opening up. So you're right. I think the college football playoff, based on the way they looked, is very unlikely. But if they clean some things up, their schedule remains soft, and you can get to 9 wins and maybe make the Big 12 title game. And then from there, it's a toss-up. The path is murkier, and it's far more difficult, but I don't think it's closed, and that's a positive about the playoff. In a 4-team system, they're dead. But in a 12-team, they're still an outside shot.
You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. If you guys want to chime in, you can do so. 913-586-7965. You guys remember, for the longest time, I would say, that Thanksgiving night that Tiger went into the car and Eldrick came out of the car, that everything we knew and thought about Tiger Woods changed when his wife grabbed that golf club and went Sammy Sosa on his vehicle. And we saw how long it took Tiger Woods to get his mojo back, get his swagger back. It took Tiger a couple of years to get back to that place. Some people have that happen and never get back to where they are. It was the ultimate fall from grace. We are seeing that exact same thing right now happen to Deshaun Watson. It is happening right before our eyes. And I've sat back and I've listened to podcasts and I've listened to the national media that keep saying, well, I don't know what Deshaun Watson is. Yes, we do. There have been two versions of Deshaun Watson. There is the Deshaun Watson that we consider to be one of the faces of the National Football League. He was one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. He was a face of the league. He was a community man. You remember he was building homes for single families because he got one from Warrick Dunn. And we love Deshaun Watson's story. Do you remember that clip? I think it was in 2020 where Deshaun Watson explaining defenses, and he's explaining it in such detail that you're really impressed. This guy knows and understands football. There's that version. That's the Houston Texans version of Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Once we found out about his extracurriculars and what he liked to do in his free time, he has never been the same. He didn't play football in 2021. He started playing again in 2022. And we have now seen 13 starts from Deshaun Watson. So we are getting close on almost a full season's worth of games, even though it's been 4 years of real time. In those games, Deshaun Watson has 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and is completing 59.1% of his passes. I am here telling you right now that Deshaun Watson went from being a top five quarterback in the league to right now there is a conversation that he is the worst starting quarterback in the league. He is in the conversation. I think Bryce Young has the title belt right now. He might be the two-time defending champion of worst starting quarterback in the NFL. But I'm telling you right now that Deshaun Watson is certainly a title contender. Him and Daniel Jones are looking at each other like the Spider-Man meme, fighting over who the number one overall contender is. Deshaun Watson, my friends, is cooked. I'm talking well done. He's bad. If you got a chance to watch any of that game against the Cowboys, you see exactly what I'm talking about. If you've had a chance to watch him since he left Houston, he is a completely different player. Sometimes when it's gone, it's gone. When that swagger is gone, when that magic is gone, whatever kind of invisible cape that you had on, it got stripped from you when we found out what you like to do on Instagram. He is a completely different player. He's bad. There's really no other way to put it. He's bad. That Browns team has a lot of things to like. Good run game, good weapons on the outside, good defense, good coaching. There's a lot of things to like about that team. They sold their soul to the devil to go get Deshaun Watson, hoping he had a little bit of that magic left. hoping that there was a little bit left of what was in 2019 and 2020 when Deshaun Watson was great, legitimately great. And if we get that guy, we got a shot. We've never had that guy. We've thought we had it a bunch of times. We had Baker and Tim Couch and Kelly Holcomb and endless amount of Browns quarterbacks. We finally think we have the one. I'm telling you that you don't. I don't think right now he's the best quarterback on their roster. I think he's worse than Jameis. I'm serious. I think the Browns are in a better spot if they bench Deshaun Watson and they start Jameis Winston. I really do. It's over. It really is. It's done. It's bad. He's bad. I'm telling you, bottom three quarterback in the league right now is Deshaun Watson. It's Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones, and Bryce Young. That's the medal stand right there. That is the Jordan Childs, Sonny Lee, and Simone Biles of bad quarterbacks right now. They're terrible. The Browns were embarrassing in week one, Rob. Absolutely embarrassing.
Is that the worst contract in all sports?
Yes.
Like, I'm not just football.
Yes.
Like, every sports franchise.
Yes. Yes is the question. I'm telling you right now, yes is the question. It is the absolute worst contract, and it just continues to get worse. Have you looked at Deshaun Watson's dead cap? Now, I know, you know, why would you just be looking up randomly Deshaun Watson's contract? I've looked up Deshaun Watson's contract. They're stuck. They can't do anything about it. Do you know what his cap hit is for next year?
It's in the 40s, I thought.
$72.9 million.
It's worse than I thought.
The dead cap for Deshaun Watson. So let's say this year it goes how I think it's going to go. I think he is Russell Wilson first year with the Broncos bad. Let's say it goes that bad. They have a dead cap of $172 million. Let's say that they cut him at the end of 2026. They then have a dead cap of $99.8 million. They cannot do anything with Deshaun Watson. They sold their souls to the devil. It was a bad trade, even if he was good. But you have just compounded it by restructuring his deal and pushing the money down the line. Eventually, a guaranteed contract is a guaranteed contract. You can divvy up the money however you want to divvy it up. Just pay me what you owe me. And you owe me $230 million guaranteed. That means 2022 through 2026 is fully guaranteed. You can't do anything about it. They're stuck. They're bad. The Browns have one of the worst quarterback situations in the entire league. They can't get out from under it. The Giants quarterback situation isn't great, but if Daniel Jones is bad this year, just go draft another quarterback. Go get Shedeur Sanders. Go get Quinn Ewers. Go get somebody else. The Browns, I mean, I guess technically you can go get another quarterback. You're going to be paying Deshaun Watson $172 million to go play for another team because that's what it's looking like.
I mean, what has happened to Deshaun Watson on the field, and I'm strictly talking on the field, is just astonishing. Like, I remember we were on the show together, Carrington, it was either 21 or 22, the years get blurred, where he was the first one to hold in. Remember, he was going to Texan camp, mm-hmm. and he was showing up every day, and he was telling John McClain, yeah, I'm not feeling it today. I got a little of this, a little of that. I'm not practicing. He was telling the Texans, basically from the minute they fired O'Brien, I ain't playing for your franchise. He sat out most of a season with that energy. He was just, he took a year off football. Then we found out he's disgusting and all the stuff off the field. But he basically took a year away. He took a gap year? He took a hiatus. And ever since that, Deshaun Watson has been bad. And he's been unhealthy on top of being bad. The Browns get what they deserve because they knew the situation. They still gave him all that guaranteed money. They knew he was sitting out and had contractitis in Houston. They still gave him all that money. So I feel no sympathy for the Haslam family or the Browns, but it is on the field bad, bad. Because it was 5 years ago, they were up 20-plus in the Chiefs, and Deshaun Watson was playing well. The year before that, 6 years ago, Deshaun Watson was one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. He was a rookie of the year leader before he got hurt. And now he's the laughingstock of the league. And you're telling me a guy who eats W's in pregame is a better option. It's just, it is astonishing the fall from grace that Deshaun Watson has had, both on because of his play and off the field because he's gross.
Rob, are you a patient individual?
Relative.
Okay. Because, you know, sometimes great things take a little bit of time, right? It takes a little bit of time to build and grow and get to that point. I have sat here and I've let you make fun of me about my love of Jameson Williams for 2 years now. You've called him Parlay Poppy. You've called him a lot of names over the course of the last couple of years. Did you watch Sunday Night Football? Did you see Jameson Williams with 5 catches, 121 yards, and 1 touchdown? Oh, yeah, he also gave you 13 yards rushing. Did you see Jameson Williams on Sunday Night Football? And were you not thinking, man, Carrington tried to tell me about Jameson Williams? All it takes is a little bit of time. You guys sometimes are so quick to jump on my takes and my picks, you don't give it a chance to cook. Let it simmer a little bit. It just took time with Jameson Williams. I've been telling you guys this. You saw him last year in the NFC Championship game. He made a couple of big plays. He's carrying that over. He's finally healthy. He's finally healthy, and he knows the league gambling policy. He didn't know before. He didn't know you couldn't place a college football bet in the team facility. He didn't know. But now he knows, and he's balling out. I tried to tell you guys about Jameson Williams, and you guys have been making fun of me for years about that prediction. I feel vindicated. I feel very vindicated after Sunday Night Football if you want a week one overreaction. He might win Offensive Player of the Year based on what I just saw. He was phenomenal week one against the Rams. Phenomenal, I tell you. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's do something new. Let's give out helmet stickers to some of our favorite college football players for what they did this weekend. We'll also talk about Tyreek Hill, who is locked up like Akon. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He's going to join us coming up at around 3:15. All right, Rob, let's give out some helmet stickers to some college players who played exceptionally well this past weekend. Rob, hit me with a little bit of music. You know what? I am going to give my first helmet sticker out. I am going to give it to the best quarterback in college football. His name is Quinn Ewers. He is the quarterback at Texas. He has to be considered the Heisman Trophy winning favorite after the first 2 weeks of the season. He has 6 touchdowns and 1 interception. And let me tell you that those boys from Texas put an absolute beatdown on Michigan. 24 of 36, 246 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. It was surgical what they did to Michigan. I think Texas is the best team in the country, and they are going to prove that in a couple of weeks when Georgia comes to town and they give Georgia their first regular season loss in their last 40-something games. I'm gonna give Quinn Ewers, quarterback from Texas, my helmet sticker.
I'm going to stay in the quarterback lane. I'm going to give my sticker to Rocco Becht. Now, listen, the Cy-Hawk Trophy is not the world's biggest deal, and Iowa State winning on the road at number 21 Iowa isn't even the biggest upset of the weekend. But as someone who sat in this seat and went out of their way to think Iowa State is nothing, Iowa State's a fraud, I put them on fraud alert before the season. I thought that's a 7-5 football team because their quarterback is unproven. But to go on the road and beat a really good Iowa defense, which we can get our jokes off about Iowa's offense, their defense is real deal. To have 2 touchdowns and 270-plus on the road is a big win for Iowa State. They might be entering the Big 12 title race talk after he played really well on Saturday. And shout out to the local kid, Jalen Noel, who was also a sensation over the Cyclones.
I'm going to give you a helmet sticker. This time I'm giving it to the whole team. Northern Illinois goes on the road and completes the biggest upset we've seen so far this college football season.
He's lining it up. 5 seconds left. NIU up 16-14. 62-yarder. Snap, hold, Jeter's kick, it's blocked, picked up by NIU, the Huskies have done it, the Huskies with the biggest upset in NIU history, they come to South Bend, Indiana, and they knock off the number 5 team in the country, NIU 16, Notre Dame 14, the football gods were shining down on NIU.
I am here to tell you, Notre Dame, that just a week after I considered you to be a lock for the college football playoff, I am now revoking that, and I am considering you eliminated for the college football final. No. This is what I don't like about the 12-team playoff. You don't get to lose to Northern Illinois in college football, play the schedule that they have, and be able to consider yourself a champion. Nope, not on my watch. If I'm on the committee, no. You lost to Northern Illinois. Be better. Not when you got this schedule. Not when you only have two more road games the rest of the year. Not when your best game is USC and it's the last game of the year. Nope, not on my watch. Notre Dame eliminated. Congratulations to Northern Illinois. Their coach had a bar. He said some schools have the transfer portal. We just have family here in Northern Illinois. Ooh, that one cut deep. Marcus Freeman, let me tell you this, my dear brother. You about to get fired. You don't know it yet, but you about to get fired. You might not get fired at the end of this season, but trust me, when they eventually fire you at Notre Dame, and oh, they're going to fire you, they're going to point back to the fact that you lost at home to Northern Illinois and cost them a shot at the playoff. I would not want to be you, my friend.
Do you know he's lost at home to Marshall and Northern Illinois in back-to-back years? Notre Dame lost to MAC schools in back-to-back seasons. Marcus Freeman, good job opening a spot for someone else in the college football playoff. Maybe Boise State can make it because Boise State looked good this weekend, but Marcus Freeman is probably going to get cooked in South Bend.
And that concludes our helmet stickers for today. Now, I was not there, but I would like to see the traffic video, the body cam from the Tyreek Hill incident. I am going to give you my commentary on it, even though I can acknowledge from the very beginning, my commentary on it is limited because we didn't get to see the whole interaction. But I think I can hypothesize what happened. This is what I think happened. I think Tyreek Hill was driving too fast. You got a nice sports car. You're on your way to the game. You're driving fast. You're probably listening to some of that hippity hop music that these kids like listening to. And you feeling good, you know, little Boss Man D-Lo riding up. Little Glorilla, you know, get you in the mood to go play football. All of a sudden, you see them cherry tops. You're like, man, I'm almost there. You pull over. I'm going to guess that Tyreek Hill got a little mouthy with the officer. I'm just going to go and make that assumption. I'm going to guess, based on what we know about Tyreek Hill, remember when he slapped that boat worker? Remember that? A couple years ago? He just slapped the guy in the back of the head. Guy told him, hey, your boat can't be here. I'm Tyreek Hill. Wow. Remember that? I'm going to guess he had some of that energy with the police officer. Again, this is just my hypothesis on what I think happened. I think Tyreek was feeling good. I'm almost at work. I'm about to go put up 100 yards on these dudes, score a couple of touchdowns. All of a sudden, he got pulled over. I'm going to guess he got a little mouthy with the officer where if you just listen, if you hand over your license, you hand over your registration, this would have been a very simple routine traffic stop. But Tyreek got a little mouthy. Now, I'm also going to hypothesize this because a lot of us have been in this situation. Let's say that you were at a 6 or a 7 and the police officer takes it to a 12. The police officer also starts mouthing back and gets a little handsy and a little bit more physical than you need to for a routine traffic stop. I think both parties are wrong here. I don't know why Tyreek Hill is out of the car for a routine traffic stop. I don't know why he's on the ground for a routine traffic stop. It looked like the officer hit Tyreek Hill while he was in handcuffs. I don't know how all of this happened for a routine traffic stop. But we're men here, right? You've been pulled over by the cops before. You maybe gave the cop a little too much attitude. And the cop, who should de-escalate the situation, usually his male ego starts to kick in a little bit. You know, you're the one with the badge. You should listen to me. And instead of de-escalating the situation, you took a situation that was a 6 or a possible 7 and you turned it up to a 12 and made it about you. Again, I don't know what happened. I have seen the video. We have all been pulled over at some point before. This is a very common story where the cop was probably doing too much And Tyreek, if you had just given them your ID, if you had just given them your registration and just sat there quietly and didn't say nothing, you could have gone on about your way. You guys can interpret that situation however you want. That is just simply my interpretation from the videos that I've seen. And I hope that we get the body cam because I would like to see the interaction from start to finish. But we know enough about Tyreek. I don't think Tyreek was quiet in this whole exchange. I think Tyreek was also being mouthy. And you know what the cops hate? When you don't do exactly what they tell you to do in every single scenario, because boy, they love to tout their authority over you in that situation. Coming up on the other side, I will tell you guys what I learned after watching an entire week one slate. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.